The depraved celebration in June, Pride Month, is upon us. And this comes upon us after all of the things that we have endured, especially protests against DEI, transgender men getting in women's sports. Here we are. But a glaring issue is before us, especially with the transmissive terrorism that we still have not been told about regarding the Audrey Hell case in Covenant School. What is going on with this manifesto? And why are politicians there are able to view it, but they cannot talk about it? We'll go into this. Dr. Mark Sherwood joins us to not just talk about the biggest non-communicable disease that is growing in America and the world, obesity, but also the current state of politics regarding conservatives. And also politicians like Trump and DeSantis. What is going on here? Dr. Mark begins to tell us.
You know, when you look at these elections and primaries, what is wrong with having a lot of candidates like this? I don't see anything. I don't. Because if we're smart, we can learn something from somebody else. If we're intelligent, we will not think we've got it figured out. Because if we think we've figured it out, that becomes the epitome of ego. And when egoism runs the system, Dustin, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for anyone because it becomes my way or the highway. And maybe there's another way that's even better than my way or the highway, right? Maybe there's a third way or a fourth way or a fifth way. And maybe I can learn something from somebody else.
And we are dealing with weaponization of our agencies here in America. So we go back and we revisit the JFK assassination because the 60th anniversary is upon us. What happened here? Author James B. Eugenio joins us, who wrote the film for Ron Howard, JFK Revisited. What is going on with that assassination? Why should we be looking into this? And why have documents not been released? How does it apply to us? And is there a mistrust with people in the government? When did he see it start occurring? He tells us.
Well, if you take a look, Kevin Phillips wrote a book called Arrogant Capital, I believe in 1994, 1995. And he took a chart in people's skepticism about the government and how it had gone to from 75% when Kennedy was inaugurated to when he published a book, it was like 20%. The biggest one-year drop was 1964, the year the Warren Report was issued. Okay, see, I don't think that's a coincidence.
McCarthy, Democrats, Biden, globalists have allowed the debt ceiling agreement to pass. What does this mean in light of the global financial collapse? We look into this and more tonight on Battlefront Frontline. Better buckle up, Buttercup. It's gonna be wild tonight. We start going into people, our own movements, and pulling those people out and challenge them. There's not enough challenge within our own group. That's why we talk about it. Eat it. Repeat, 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 and act.
And they're above the competition, but they don't even know what it is.
I think our job is to get the truth out to as many people as possible.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Battlefront Frontline. And it is tonight, Friday night, here on June 2nd, 2023. The year of our Lord, right? Every year, all the time, in control. And we are glad to be back with you. We just returned back with Battlefront Frontline on Tuesday. We have been airing many interviews with the BFB Live Field Report when we were there at the Reawaken America Tour in Miami, Florida. There's been a lot of interesting ones, ladies and gentlemen, that we have been airing. I strongly urge you to go and check them out. I don't want you to miss out on any of these. There were so many that we're going to be able to have. I couldn't even get all of them in because it was back to back to back to back. And we were having to choose the really good ones. Because that's what we do, is we want to inform you in the best way possible. And of course, everybody wants to get on set. But you can't realistically do that. And you have to really pick what's the best. So we only put things on that would serve the purpose of informing you and also some entertainment, because when we do those kinds of interviews, it's a different kind. The way the style is a more in-person kind of way for you, that you can experience it as if you're just sitting there. That's how I try to conduct those interviews. I try to convict, because we don't do them as long as we do on the segments here on Battlefront Frontline, because Battlefront Frontline, we do present in a way that is in an expose top style that we want to do it that way. That's what we want to do even with our interviews with that, because we want to go deep into the issues. So that's why we have like four segments, you know, 20 to 30 minutes long, depending upon the subject matter and the person that we're interviewing, of course. So it's just really incredible what we do there with the BFB Live Field Report. They're a much faster pace. Some of them are more extended depending on if I've ever had that person or what we're talking about. But I suggest you go check those out, support all of that. You can go there to Rumble. And we do have the site up with bfbroadcasting.com. I'm having to fix some stuff. It's going to be really good when we're finished all this. We're really kind of proud of what's coming here and the people that we're going to be bringing on, especially there with Beverly Gillen, one of the people that we work with and been working with for a little while now. She's a very, very good servant to the organization and a very good investigative reporter in her own sense. But we really want you guys to enjoy everything that we put out, but we want you to be informed. We want to present to you things that that matter, that will help you to navigate through the problems that we are experiencing, because it is a war. It is an information war, and we have to win this war. And if we don't win this war, then our future is very, very, very much well done, finished with. Including these things we're going to be talking about today with the debt ceiling and everything with Kevin McCarthy, as we just did in the last program, even with Clay Clark. We're going to go over some issues here, because I'm telling you that Kevin McCarthy is 100% complicit in all of this. We're also going to touch on some things with Trump tonight and DeSantis, but I really want to talk about that. There's another issue that we're going to be talking about here soon, too, also. But, you know, speaking of the Reawaken America tour and all of that, how that was started because of COVID, you might remember that Dr. Zev Zelenko was one of the people that was at the forefront of treating this illness. When he came out with his own Z-Stack, that was extremely important for people. Well, you can go over there to zstacklife.com/battlefront and check out all of those products there that Dr. Zev Zelenko's organization continues to sell to this day in his untimely passing. You have the Z-Care line there that is very, very good. And you can go over there and be able to take advantage of those. Still using the code Battlefront, you can get 5% off. There's also, you can subscribe and get another 10% off by subscribing to these products. But one that I really want to talk about is the Z-Stack Kids, ladies and gentlemen. This is one that you can offer to your children to be able to have those vitamin D3, to be able to have the vitamin C, and to be able to have the quercetin in it so that you could treat your kids and to boost their immune systems. So the kids Z-Stack is on there, a very good product there that you can go over there and use. So head on over there to zstacklife.com/battlefront. Remember, you can use the code battle at checkout, get an additional 10%, get additional 5% off. But I suggest that you go ahead and don't miss out by subscribing to these so that you don't miss your supplements every month. It's just a very important one for your kids. It's there's 90 gummies in that bottle. Check out all of the other lines in the Z Stack because Dr. Zev Zelenko was at the forefront of this, and may he rest in peace. Not certain well, he might be, but I will tell you that this was a good person and fought well while he was here. Go enjoy his products. zstacklife.com/battlefront. Now, I want to get on this before we move on to talking about the debt ceiling and what occurred there. Because I want us to revisit this because we're still talking about this since we are in the Sodom and Gomorrah celebration month of so-called Pride Month here in June, how we get to have a whole month long of celebrating the false rainbow colors. And I say that with pride myself because I have been saved by grace alone, faith alone, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you guys can too repent, by the way. But all of the things that's going on with this is just absolutely sickening. We've become into a time period that we are continuing to celebrate the things that should not be celebrated. Now, there's pushback coming with this. You see now that even with younger people in school, they're rejecting this ideology that's being pressed upon them with the sodomite agenda. And I say that this is the term that we need to be using as it. It's not gay agenda. It's not all of these other pet words that they give themselves to make it sound okay and validated. It's sodomites. Period. That is the correct terminology that we should be using, just the same as when we talk about these dudes who's, even if they're not cutting off their genitals and everything, but they dress as women and then walk around and portray themselves as women, though ugly women are not transgender. They are transvestite. That goes for trans women and trans men, whatever the hell they want to call themselves. Now, speaking of that, we still have not gotten to the bottom of the issue with the manifesto of Audrey Hill, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the problems. This is what I want to discuss here before we move on to that. So, obviously, they haven't been releasing this manifesto to anybody, and we're not able to see what went on here. What actually did occur there with Hill in the manifesto? What does this manifesto say? Because I think that this manifesto is going to prove to people even more of what's going on with the situation. This was a troubled woman. This was somebody who I believe had gotten around people that led her to believe certain things and also led her to start believing things about Christians. And she was weaponized. And this is my belief from everything that I've been reading and researching upon it. And among other things that we have, you know, we'll try to do here. But this is a very important subject matter because it's being covered up 100%, I believe. But if you go over here to the Epoch Times, you will see Tennessee legislators have authority to view covenant shooters' writings with caveat of maintaining confidentiality. Again, we have to think of trying to keep this silent, but now they're going to allow some of these legislators to read it. So what might be in that? What might be in there that would perhaps shed light on what happened here and to prepare us for what's coming? Are they going to allow these legislators to be reading this so that they can maybe scare these people and to start doing more gun control measures? I don't know. But as it goes on to here to say, as Chase Smith writes, various parties are in the midst of legal proceedings seeking to force the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department to release the writings of Audrey Hill and other related documents concerning her assault on the Covenant School in March, including concerned citizens, nonprofit groups, media organizations, and even state legislators. A number of Tennessee legislators have publicly called on Hill's writings to be released, not only for transparency purposes, but in order to scrutinize her writings in the course of a legislative process. Important right there about how they're talking about the legislative process, because red flag laws are still before us. They're still trying to seize your Second Amendment, but also about how they're pushing back against this all coming light of us going against the transvestite showmanship to children and how they are trying to proselytize these children. And that's absolutely what it is, 100%. It's proselytizing your children into their religion of sodomy and their disgusting sexual deviancy, and to try and get them while they're young. And this is 100% also about MAPS, and that is minor attractive persons, as they are identifying it. They want to sneak that in and get it ingrained into society. And you can see this even now with Twitter feeds that are going viral and also being discussed online. And don't believe that that these bots, if they might be, or even fake accounts, aren't part of the war and not being taken seriously by the already people who are insane and crazy themselves, such as this Audrey Hill person. Now, going on, a special session of the legislature is set for August to focus on school safety following the March 27th shooting, which left 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults dead at the hands of hell. He goes on to say that they heard the case on Monday, and the legal director for the Metropolitan Government of Nashville and Davidson County said he was confused about why Garden Hire in particular filed a suit against them, because it says here that Garden Hire, Senator Todd Garden Hire, filed suit to release the records of what went on here with the MNPD. Now, why is it that the MNPD is not releasing this when we've seen that the MNPD was also people who strategically and masterfully penetrated that building and took down the shooter? Is there perhaps something going on here that the MNPD might have known beforehand that this was about to occur, or maybe an involvement with FBI here? Because we know that even in the past with shooters, that the FBI has known them and also been complicit in pushing them to do it, short of this Manchurian candidate kind of thing. But it goes on to here that the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation Office, attorney Wally Dietz said that, "I would point out Senator Gardner had filed a lawsuit with the Tennessean to seek the records. There's a state law that permits any legislator to go to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, TBI, office and look at any investigative file they have." Now, Gardner goes on to say, even in this article, that it says here he's the chairman of the Tennessee Senate Judiciary Committee, and he told the Epoch Times that the Metro Police Department are playing games. He says here, "In order to see those documents, you have to basically sign away your rights to ever repeat anything you see in those files." So this guy is playing games. He knows if I say I want to, and I've been offered to see them, if I take a look at those files under those circumstances, I cannot use that information to help draft public policy. And they know it. So the more people that are able to view this manifesto and all these other documents are not allowed to steer legislative processes because they have to shut up about it. So that means that when you start having these things coming to the floors to be vote on, perhaps you have transvestite laws, child mutilation laws. You also have laws against Second Amendment laws, trying to ban guns, and even school safety laws about having more security there, which I am 100% behind. I think that you got to train teachers for all of this. Hell, you should be training janitors. All of these people, all of the adults there should be well-armed. Every single one of them. If you're there, and I think that they should even pay them extra as an incentive to get training and attend training every year, so that we can keep these kids safe. I know that we want to dismantle public school systems, but I don't think that we could completely dismantle the public school system, because let's face it, we do need it to a point, even though I do not take part in it, and I'd wish to hell I didn't have to pay all these extravagant land taxes to the schools here, because I don't want to support them. I do my own work with my children. Now, going on here, getting off on a tangent, but he said that the local Tennessee newspaper, they were seeking a smaller, less broad pool of information than other petitioners and only requesting information on Hill, not the children, parents, or the school itself. He says here that, "As chairman of Judiciary Committee, if anything gets to my committee, I need to be in a position to know how do we solve the problem, not fix the symptoms. And the information on Audrey Hill could be, and I say could, be important for us to know." And it goes on here to see, you know, that the law says there that code, Tennessee code 10-5-7, 10.7504 has a subsection for dealing with miscellaneous public records and exceptions to confidential records being viewed by legislators. It says that all investigative records of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation shall be treated as confidential and not be open to inspection by members of the public. The state law explains the information contained in such records shall be disclosed to the public only in compliance with a subpoena and an order of court of record. Exceptions exist for elected members of the Tennessee General Assembly if inspection is directed through a duly adopted resolution of either house or of a committee of either house. Any record inspected pursuant to this exception shall maintain its confidentiality throughout the inspection. State law further states records shall not be available to any member of the executive branch except to the governor and those directly involved in the investigation. So Dietz says that the legislator who views the documents at MAPD may not disclose them to third parties. Obviously, when you're a legislator, you're going to be disclosing these things. And he said that there isn't any reason, and they cannot base their legislative votes on what they learned. Again, so if they go and view these records, they can't talk about it, and they can't use it to maybe make a decision on legislation. Now, that's what, but still, the factor means, why isn't the public being able to see these kinds of things? They're hiding this agenda behind closed doors of a group of people, and albeit a small fraction of the population, but quickly growing through false adherence and proclamations that it appears that the population is a large larger than it really is, that is this group of people. And of course, if they're out there proselytizing young children to be a part of this kind of behavior, they're going to do it. Kids are there, especially when their parents are taking them to these things, they're going to do them because you are, as a parent, the one who leads your children. And the parents naturally look to the parents as the guides of behavior, of the way they shall be in the future. And that's why there is such a drive for these people to try and take the children from you. Now, we need to know what this manifesto says, because we need to be able to battle this problem of the transvestites attacking people. And what did this woman know, Audrey Hell, and say in there about people who she was involved with to the point that she got to doing this, where she went after them? Who activated her? This is a question that I have in my mind. We need to find out who activated her, how they did it, and how many throughout the country are doing it. Because this is what's going to happen to our children if we don't get it under wraps here. We will absolutely begin to lose them. Now, we are running out of time. The segment, I got to go. We have Dr. Mark returning for Hope, Health, and Freedom. And then after that, I got something. We're going to go a different direction. We're going to actually have somebody on, the screenwriter for Ron Howard's JFK Revisited is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the JFK assassination. It's going to be a fantastic ride. I'll be coming up with this, James D'Eugenio in the third segment. So, guys, don't go away. We have more coming. When we come back from all of that, I want to discuss what's happening here with the debt ceiling and McCarthy, all of this. Don't go away. This is Battlefront Frontline.
These are domestic terrorists.
The sixth was all deception.
The level of sophistication, tactic.
People were putting on Trump stuff beforehand or taking it off afterward.
It was members of our own government.
Morgan's been an FBI informant for a number of years. On January 6th, I said, are you working? And he said, yes.
This is treason.
They want to criminalize dissent.
I opened the shutters that had the battering ram. So I hear, then they told me to come out, a whole bunch of red dots all over my chest.
They're hunting down Trump supporters
like dogs.
I just walked into a crowd of people.
We've been screaming, we've been fighting, but now I want you to pray with me.
I spent the next 3 weeks in jail. They put me in a cell by myself. Total solitary confinement in a cell not much bigger than a walk-in closet.
FBI, guns drawn.
Hands up, hands up, hands up! Put your hands on the wall, hands on the wall!
This is psychological warfare.
It didn't have a battering ram in it, but what it did have was a turret on top. He was pointing his gun at all my neighbors, ready to pull up anytime he needed to.
They handcuffed me.
They handcuffed you?
Yes.
Oh! 147 days since my wife was murdered,
so I gotta be her voice now.
Hi, friends. Dr. Mark Sherwood here.
And I'm Dr. Michelle Sherwood.
Not everyone can make an appointment with us, but you can receive many of the same educational benefits our patients receive through our most comprehensive course, Health Secrets Exposed.
Modern healthcare, or should we say sick care, is more focused on profit than your health. And in this course, you'll discover what sick care has been keeping from you all along.
Here's a hint. You don't need more medication.
You need the simple truths in this course to unlock optimal health. Health Secrets Exposed is usually $149. Now it's just $99 with your promo code. It's time for you to learn what Big Pharma doesn't want you to know. Get access to this course now at Sherwood.tv.
Welcome back to Battlefront Frontline. I'm your host, Dustin Faulkner, and we are here with the Hope, Health, and Freedom segment with Dr. Mark Sherwood. It's been a while since we were together, but it's been a while since we've gotten to be on here on Frontline Live. We just started back here on Tuesday with the new program because we've been out for a few weeks doing other things. But we're back and we're at it again. We're glad to be with all of you guys. We're glad to bring Dr. Mark Sherwood back on here for another segment. But before we go any further, make sure that you do head over there to Sherwood.tv/Battlefront. There you will be able to get the best of supplements. You will be able to get the best of health and to have true preventive health care. So then you can do that by going up there to the vertical ellipsis there on the right-hand corner, drop it down, go into the plans, and you're going to have four choices there. You have the starter plan, help secrets expose, the reset plan, and the custom plan. Make sure that you choose the custom plan. All of the plans are great, 100% good for you, but I just recommend the custom plan at all times to you because I want you to be healthy. Dr. Mark Sherwood wants you to be healthy. Dr. Michelle Sherwood wants you to be healthy. And so they want to do it extensively and for you to be able to have contact with them, with the practitioners throughout the whole process. So check out that custom plan. Don't be a prisoner of sick care anymore. It's time to take back your life. Sherwood.tv/Battlefront. And without further ado, let's go ahead and bring the man of the hour back on, Dr. Mark Sherwood. Welcome back to the program again, sir.
Thank you, Dustin, for having me. It's good to be back. We were together live a while back, but now we're together in our most comfortable, most common way, right?
Right. Well, we got it in a way that, you know, we could hear each other.
That's
a lot of commotion.
It was loud in Miami, wasn't it?
It was very loud this time, but and I'm not opposed to that. I think that that's a good thing because that means you have a lot of people there. And I don't mind a live audience. I like a live audience. And I had that throughout the whole weekend, Dr. Mark. In fact, people would come in there and they stand there and they start videoing themselves. They were enamored by everything. And I think that's great because it gives it an environment to them. Maybe next time we control the media room a little bit better. But it was good. It was a good experience. It always is a good experience. I can't really ever say anything negative about it, even if I feel negative at a point. But a really good time. I have a great time there, especially seeing everybody in person.
Yeah, it's always good because there's a camaraderie there that only people understand that have been there. And it's like, it's not like a perfect family. Like, you got people that do different things and think a little bit different, but there's a common belief system, a common core value that goes forth there. And I think that's really clear. And that's what continues to drive the Reawaken America tour in a positive direction.
I think so, too. And I think that's why I'm really glad, because Clay wasn't going to be doing these things, but it kept going and going and going. And now it's a regular thing for him. And I know that's not something that he will look to in life, but how many of us look to anything that we're going to be doing these things at this point in our lives? It's kind of like thrust upon us as a calling. Therefore, we have to finish the work that's been set before us. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I look at COVID and the whole situation, in the negative side of that, yeah, there was a lot of bad, but man, the positive side of that, look at all the good. I mean, I know Dustin Faulkner. I know your family. That's a blessing, man. I get to fellowship with you and call you friend. Look at what happened in Clay's life and how his whole business sort of turned around and flipped upside down. And now he's running the Reawaken America tours. Look at the connections that happened. Look at the reason that we've now sort of stratified a cause across the U.S. It wouldn't have happened had there not been a bunch of bad things that happened. So, I'm grateful that the cruise ship that was America was turned upside down because we were heading and sailing in the wrong direction. And perhaps this was a way to get us to understand how wrong it was. And now there's a whole bunch of people that are joined together through the various networks because of it and directly related to it. So, we're in good shape right now. We've got people that care, people that know each other, and this is just a bunch of generals coming together and rising up, just like the 3% did back in 1775.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that assessment. And it really gives us a chance to continue to teach the things that we are doing now. Reawaken America is it's happening, and we're getting people more and more that maybe we might not have had a chance before to get without them being wounded. I believe that mm-hmm. wounds that people received enables them to be open to what has been said before even such an attack, because that's what we were doing, was trying to reveal these things. But now I made it better to reveal. And and through suffering, we become better if we do it right. And if we
get
the right one, the outlook.
I agree. One of the greatest teachers that I know is called pain, right? And pain will teach you something. It will teach you what to do and probably what not to do, right? And I think you're right, Dustin. People have experienced pain, and we sometimes, right, wrong, or indifferent, unfortunately or fortunately, have to get there to know that it's a place we don't want to be. It's a painful place, and that forces us to bring change. And I'm grateful that we have now the opportunity to bring some change. And that change has got to occur in our own lives, right? And then we go out there and spread that change and sort of deal that hope and deal that encouragement to people.
Absolutely. And, moving forward on some things, speaking of teaching people and the things that we are going through, the biggest things that you and Dr. Michelle and I discussed there at the Reawaken America tour was the greatest non-communicable disease that is occurring in America right now. And we have a problem with people trying to make these things normalized, not just that, but other things. But obesity, for one, is now the new thing to be normalized because they're trying to get the victims and make them remain victims, such as the New York mayor there, who's going to make it illegal for people to be mistreated, as they say, based on their obesity, including being judged at jobs. You can only do so much if you're overweight. So there's a problem here, Dr. Mark, with this acceptance of this deadly disease.
Well, I'm going to predict something right now that may shock people. I believe that it will become a protected health class at some point. And the people need to think about what I just said. I believe it's going to become a protected health class. And the sad thing about that, Dustin, is it's not healthy at all. It's the worst kind of health. America has done a very poor job of creating obesity, profiting on obesity, exporting obesity, and profiting off of other countries' obesity. We've done a piss poor job of that in representation of what's right. And I know that language is pretty stern, but let me explain to you why it's so bad. It's unlike any other pandemic, any other problem we've ever had. Because whether you're a conservative, whether you're a liberal, it doesn't matter. Dustin, we're seeing both sides accepted as a norm. That means it's going to affect, infect, and eventually dismantle all of us, including our country. Obesity is the fastest growing non-communicable deadly disease in the history of mankind. There's nothing that good that comes from that. And yet, both sides of the aisle, both sides of the belief system continue to perpetuate it, thinking it's no big deal. And Dustin, we need to wake up, literally, and get our heads out of the ground and our you-know-whats out of the air and realize that it's destroying people one person at a time, one family at a time, and sadly, one child at a time, with nearly 30% of all children right now being overweight or obese. That is not okay. And yet, no one's talking about it, and no one's doing anything about it. And to me, this is one of the saddest things I've ever experienced in my lifetime.
That's just incredible to have children, more than a quarter of the population, being obese. You know, and it's very common now. You can walk outside now and see this occur with children that's looking like that. And it breaks my heart, and it angers me. And because I'm seeing a child that's being handicapped for life because of something like that. And then the older that they get, the more problems that they're going to have. So we're going to start having kids beginning in their teen years with joint problems, vascular problems, and all the things that come with obesity.
You know, you're right. And today, and this is not like, I don't want people to make an inference here. I don't want people to take this wrong, but today, why are we having so many children that are so sick today as it relates to the vaccines, right? There's a couple different angles to look at. Number one, we have very unhealthy children, right? You bring a vaccine in to trigger immune system, and that sort of can be the hair trigger that pushes them over the edge. Number two, why do we have vaccines for children? Because we're very unhealthy, right? So we open the door, refuse to close the door, and now we have it wide open and say, okay, bring it on. And then we're complaining about those other things causing us problems. I'm not saying I agree with the mass vaccinations at all. I'm saying that our platform or our landscape within the general population, especially in children, is very, very poor. As a matter of fact, a lot of people need to understand this. We spend more per person than really any other industrialized nation, maybe except for one. Of all the other industrialized nations, we are near the bottom in health care and health standards. So if we spend more and get less, what does that tell you about the people that are in charge of these programs? They are the worst in the world. And if they're the worst in the world, why do we continue to depend on them, fund them, and ask them for advice? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And honestly, I feel that, you know, case in point, today I've gotten to have the fun of arguing with people about Trump cultism. And then they post pictures of all these obese people with all this Trump gear and all of this stuff on. Is there an element of that? Maybe. I think it's very little. I think that you just have a bunch of excited people that don themselves in their own fan wear. Face it, there is a fan base. Totally. But what it bothers me about is that because of, you know, in light of that, is that we have people that now aren't facing the facts about everything else. And so they want to be ignorance is bliss, so to speak. So they want to remain in their ways. And I'm having a difficulty understanding why people so easily accept these things. And how to get these people out of that thinking? How do we begin to do that? It seems that people have dug in deeply because they don't like, what they went through. This whole victimhood thing.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to think about. Let's go back to some neurochemistry, because this is where it boils down to. We have a right brain and we have a left brain. The right brain deals with the emotions and the soul. In other words, when we're stressed out, those emotions will be sort of driven by the right brain processors. Then we have our left brain, which is really about, you know, common sense, critical thinking, the rational side of things, right? When we are driven incessantly and perpetually, continually by right brain activity, in other words, stress, anger, hatred, divisiveness, negativity, we become addicted to that. The more we become addicted to that, the more we become unable to critically think. And this is a problem today, because when you sit down and try to rationally carry on a conversation with somebody who's stuck over there in the right brain, they can't hear you. They can't hear you and have no interest in talking to you because, as you stated, they've dug their heels in. This is the way it is. They're locked in those ways. And here's the danger and the trap about that. The more and more they get locked in, the tighter the vice grip becomes. And those neuronal wire system get tighter and tighter. And what's wired together will continue to fire together, stronger and stronger and stronger. You go back and look at our country 100, 200 years ago, there were still differences. You know, there were people that believed in slavery. People didn't believe in slavery. One of them, wow, what is that? But yet, we could still sit down at a table and talk to each other and make a decision that wouldn't please everybody. But we realize that the persons, whether they believe what we did or how we did or not, they have value. And right now, you've got a situation that's not like that at all. You got both sides that don't see value in the other person. And Dustin, this hit me between the eyes, literally, probably 2 or 3 months ago. And this is an application. I think I had the realization one day. I was like, what am I thinking? What am I doing? I believe as I believe. And you know that. We agree. We're on the same page and all that. But I was thinking back in my time in running for governor of the state of Oklahoma. If I'd have won, I am governor of all those people, not just the ones that voted for me, but all the people. And I've got to figure out a way to communicate with them and love them, even if they don't love me. And that takes the sort of left brain critical thinking kind of concept. And it means we got to slow down things, the anger and the hostility and the lack of understanding, and get back to communication so we can bring that kind of potential buy-in again, so that we can get some sort of continuity within our country. And right now it is a mess. It's in a mess in our health, in government, medicine, church, economics, you name it. It's a mess.
It is a mess. And it's enabled us to be divided. And we're even divided. We're even divided with people that we agree with.
Yeah.
Like for example, the Trump and DeSantis argument.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you might feel about this, but I'm not opposed to the fact that DeSantis is running. I don't like some of the things he did to run up to. There's some things about him that we have to bring up to question. But I think it's a great thing that we have a bunch of people run for a primary. It's an important position. This is where our country's founded upon. And then even though you might support one candidate or the other, it's already become vicious. We're not even a month in this announcement, and already we're tearing each other apart as if we hate each other. What's going to happen, Dr. Mark, when one or the other wins? Are we going to go back to that, or is it going to be the same principle as, forgive me because I was acting, like with the COVID people, forgive me, I was acting because I had to deal with the COVID thing. It's the same principle to me. Now we've divided with people we agree with. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, I look at the state of Florida. I mean, we were there. A lot of people, a lot of conservatives moved there. They moved there, and that became the fastest growing economy, at least one of the fastest as a state economy. Florida went from barely being red to Governor DeSantis won his last election by 20 points. That's not barely red. That's very red. And so the point being is he did a lot of good things down there. A lot. Do I think he could have done more? Yes. Do I question some things he said and done? Yes. But I question things Donald Trump's done too. You know, when you look at these elections and primaries, what is wrong with having a lot of candidates like this? I don't see anything. I don't. Because if we're smart, we can learn something from somebody else. If we're intelligent, we will not think we've got it figured out. Because if we think we've figured it out, that becomes the epitome of ego. And when egoism runs the system, Dustin, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for anyone because it becomes my way or the highway. And maybe there's another way that's even better than my way or the highway, right? Maybe there's a third way or a fourth way or a fifth way. And maybe I can learn something from somebody else. And the American people, I encourage them to look and listen between the lines. And I encourage the candidates to don't call each other names and act juvenile. You stay in your lane. You talk about your policies. You talk about why your policies and your principles are the best for the American people, the best for our country, and you stay right there. But you're right. We've resorted to a bunch of name calling and slandering, and it's sad because that whole thing right there is going to further destroy our system. We complain about fair elections and all this and that. This kind of behavior got us there right here. This kind of behavior. And we better tone it down a notch. And I think politics right now has resorted to nothing more than a daytime soap opera with drama and profanity and added into it. And it's so wrong because every time I look at the news, it's like, so-and-so said this. I don't care. I want to know what you're doing. You know, the greatest sermon that I've ever heard and sermons I've ever heard are those I've seen. Show me what you're doing and shut your mouth. I'm tired of hearing these incessant words that mean nothing from these politicians. It's time for action. It's time for common sense. It's time for true patriotism to rise again that stands up for the gap for even the people you that don't like you, because it's the right thing to do because we're Americans.
It absolutely is. Well, Dr. Mark, you got something coming up called a knot of empowerment. You do these often, it looks like, if I'm right. What is this?
We do those quarterly, and it's our version of, some would call it marketplace ministry. But what does that mean? You know, I believe with all of my heart that we are supposed to carry into the community, into the marketplace, things that bless people in the marketplace. Right. I don't think we should keep those blessings behind the closed doors. I'll just give an example of why would people that call themselves a church or a group meet every Sunday, keep all they've learned and all they've sort of seen revealed to them by God within a building? Why wouldn't you bring that into the marketplace? Because that's where you're going to help people. That's where ministry is, man. So my wife and I, you know, what we do here, we lead people down a pathway of true healing within our clinic. And our clinic is not a statewide thing. It's a national thing. We help people around the country find themselves again. We find them, get them out of their own self-imposed bondage. We relieve them from obesity. We see type 2 diabetes reversed all the time, autoimmune conditions reversed all the time. So we bring those principles out into the community. Quarterly, we rent the whole ballroom at a major hotel, a Renaissance Hotel in Tulsa. We feed them. We teach them. We inspire them. We give some giveaways and send them on their way. And we do that four times a year. From a business standpoint, it's foolish. But from a righteousness standpoint, it's the right thing to do. And we have a great time. And we have hundreds of people show up. And it's a great presentation. They're all different. Sometimes we have guest speakers come in. Sometimes we don't. Last time we had Kevin Sorbo come in, who's become a good friend. And so he came in and did a really fine job. This time we're going to do it. We'll talk about what we're going to do in the future. We have one time a year we actually show one of our movies in a premiere status where people can see it before it's released nationwide, which is kind of cool. So they're big events. We just want to bless people, man. Give them some hope.
Absolutely agree. Well, Dr. Mark, we're about to close out the segment. Is there anything that the people need to know out there from you?
Yeah, I think that people need to know out there when you connect with us. And I think you mentioned that at the top earlier. We get answers. We get results. And it's not because we're good. It's because, frankly, God is good and he uses us. Now, I know that sounds like maybe something squirrely to say, but whether squirrely or not, people get results. You know, and that's what matters to me, man. And I hope people understand that. Our job in leading people down a pathway of true healing does not only comprise of physical healing. It comprises physical, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, financial, and even governmental to a point, to understand things like that. So we try to put all those things in there where people can get something out of it every day. And I want people to, man. So hopefully people will indeed, you know, take advantage of that. And we have many, many talks in these offices right here I'm in, you know, with people. And it's about all kinds of things, but it brings them peace, man. And people need peace more than anything today.
I believe they do. Well, Dr. Mark, I appreciate you coming on again with us tonight. It was a fantastic segment once again.
You're welcome. Always appreciate it, Dustin. Thanks for having me as always.
My pleasure. Well, everyone, don't go away. We have more coming. This is Battlefront Frontline.
Many people know about our clinic, but most don't realize we help patients around the globe reach their health goals. Deep down, you know there's got to be a way to get there, but you don't know where to start. Our starter plan is the first step. You'll get everything you need to experience a health transformation in 120 days.
You'll start by resetting your health with a 2-week detox. Then you'll implement our proven anti-inflammatory food plan. On top of this, you'll get a 120-day supply of essential supplements, omega-3 and vitamin DK, as well as our homeopathic drops to accelerate your health goals.
Go to Sherwood.tv now and use the promo code on your screen to receive this exclusive offer and save a total of $80.
This is your path to more energy and better health.
Welcome back to Battlefront Frontline. I'm your host, Dustin Faulkner, and we just got off the segment there with Dr. Mark Sherwood speaking about the problems that we are dealing with in America and what we need to be doing to get healthy and how to become better leaders in our society. These are all very important things. So make sure that you are getting yourself taken care of, heading to his website, sherwood.tv/battlefront, to make sure that you check out everything there. And also, excuse me, don't forget that you can head on over there to mychronicsilver.net. This is very important for you to start getting these things inside of your pantry, inside of your cabinets, because you know that silver has been used for centuries to cure as an antibiotic and as an anti-inflammatory, many other great aspects to this. You might know of colloidal and ionic silver. These things are very important, but you have Jeffrey Adam, who has invented Micronic Silver, which is superior to those, as in, according to him, that you can get through the digestive system. It doesn't just stay in your system. It has a 10-year shelf life. It's resistant to sunlight. These are very good things to be having. I use these. That's what I use also to shape. Keeps me giving razor burn. I put these things on many of the cuts that I've had here in my family. I even cured a duck with this stuff. Not lie to you about it. With the code BATTLE, you could save 10% on that. Go over there to check it out at mychronicsilver.net. I highly recommend the Silver Zone Cream. That's what I use during getting sunburns, all the other things that penetrate to the deep layers of your skin. These are very, very, very good products. So head over there, mychronicsilver.net, and use the code BATTLE for 10% off. Now, we'll be moving on to something different that we have not done here, even on this program yet. And that is to bring on and talk about things regarding JFK Jr. In fact, we have a screenwriter for Oliver Stone with JFK Revisited. James DiEugenio, he's got 30 years that he's been researching the JFK assassinations and all of the historical surroundings of that. He has a website called KennedysandKing.com that he is an editor of. They have a lot of things going on. They have a new book there that comes out after this book, after this movie, called JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. These are the things that we need to be trying to understand. I myself have got a lot to learn about this subject matter, because I feel that it's very important that we need to understand it, especially in the light that we are coming up on 60 years anniversary of this and what we are going to be dealing with. But let's go ahead and welcome James DiEugenio to the program. Welcome, James.
Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it, sir. Fill us in a little bit about what you guys do over here at KennedysandKings.com, especially with your expertise on the JFK Jr. assassination.
Okay. It's actually the JFK assassination. Okay. What we do is we try and cover all four assassinations of the 60s. Okay. That would be John Kennedy, Malcolm X, King, and Bobby Kennedy. We have a special emphasis on the JFK case for the simple reason that there's more documents that are coming out on that of late than the other three. Because as you know, there was an act of Congress put through when Oliver Stone released his blockbuster 1991 movie, JFK, that created such a sensation that they passed an act of Congress to declassify all the secret records on the John F. Kennedy assassination. Of late, me and Oliver teamed up. He directed and I wrote two documentaries, a two-hour one, which you mentioned, JFK Revisited, okay? And there's an accompanying book on that I wrote, JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. And you can get a four-hour version. They're both streaming. And that's called JFK Destiny Betrayed. And with Robert Kennedy Jr.'s running for Congress, okay, this has become more topical of late because it was inevitable he was going to be asked about, well, what do you think about your uncle's death? Okay. And to his credit, he answered honestly, okay, that he thought it was a conspiracy. And as you mentioned, we're now coming up on the 60th anniversary. And as hard as it is to believe, and it really is hard to believe, that there's still documents being withheld on the JFK case almost 60 years later, even after an act of Congress went through, which, by the way, Joe Biden voted for when he was in the Senate. All right. But they're still dragging their feet on this. This is utterly incredible. You know, 60 years later, what could possibly be so secret as to want to keep those hidden to this day? And by the way, I guess I should add this. This has gotten so bad, there's actually a court case on this going on in the Northern District of California. The Mary Farrell Foundation has sued the National Archives and the White House over why they're still withholding, okay, these documents on the JFK case 59 plus years later. So those are some of the topical aspects, you know, of the this case never dies. It just somehow has this hold over the public imagination, you know, that just won't let go.
Correct. There's been a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding what's happened here. And whether some of them are valid or not remains to be seen. You know, I think that a lot of people, because they really, you know, they're fascinated with what happened here. I've heard a great number of them, you know, talking about the CIA involvement and talking about the targeting of him because of what he was going to reveal about the inner workings and secret societies. How can we sift through all of these, James, to really determine what are valid theories?
Well, what we did in the film, okay, and what I did in the book was we relied on an organization called the Assassinations Record Review Board. That was the body that was set up after 1992 to declassify all the documents being held secret by the FBI, the State Department, the CIA, etc. And we brought on what I believe to be the most professional and the most accredited writers and researchers on the case, like, for example, Dr. Henry Lee, like Dr. Cyril Wecht, like Jefferson Morley, like Dr. John Newman, to discuss these documents. See, there's no doubt today that there was a conspiracy, and we proved it in the film with forensic evidence, all right? A lot of it was new. By the way, the film is still, it's been out for 11 months. It's number 3 on Amazon, okay, even though it's been out almost a year in documentaries, DVDs, all right? It's just a matter of trying to get the last documents out and trying to adjudge, you know, what really happened that day and who was behind it. And unfortunately, you know, this is a real tragedy because the trail has gone so cold. Okay, there's this, you know, utter hopelessness and cynicism about ever getting to the absolute bottom of this case. And plus, it's gone on so long that so many important people have died. You know, and that's another serious problem you have with this case. But like I said, it just won't go away for whatever reason that there is. Okay. I think that a lot of people believe that something went wrong with America, you know, after the JFK assassination, that the fact, not just of his death, you know, but the fact that this country would not in any way face it. Okay, face up to it and try and solve what actually happened. That was another serious problem. And by the way, that's not me saying that. That's all the polls that you want to read about it. Okay, about the last one I read is something like 89 to 90% of the public believe that an era of cynicism and skepticism consumed the country after, you know, the heyday of the 50s and early 60s. After Kennedy's assassination.
Why did this cynicism occur? What about the assassination made people start being like that about it? Is it because of the, well, because of the mistrust with government and the officials, especially what we're going through now with everything being revealed about these organizations?
Well, if you take a look, Kevin Phillips wrote a book called Arrogant Capital, I believe in 1994, 1995. And he took a chart in people's skepticism about the government and how it had gone to from 75% when Kennedy was inaugurated to when he published a book, it was like 20%. The biggest 1 year drop was 1964, the year the Warren Report was issued. Okay. See, I don't think that's a coincidence. All right. Okay. Because I think so many people see, this is what happened, I believe, Dustin. I don't know how old you are. I'm old enough to remember the day that Oswald was killed. I was sitting in our living room and I watched Jack Ruby walk into a room full of cops, over 50 of them. Shove a pistol into Oswald's stomach and shoot him live on TV. Okay. Now, as it was really shocking to watch it. But after the shock went away, people began to ask, why would he do something like that with TV cameras, with 50 policemen there? Was he sent in to silence Oswald? Did they really not want Oswald to talk? And I think that's an inescapable assumption, you know, after you watch something like that. And then in 1975, for the first time in 12 years, people watch a Zapruder film on television, ABC. They showed it live. It was hidden all those years. And that's shocking. I'm sure you've seen it. Okay. Where Kennedy's head just bounces backward, you know, off the back seat of the car with tremendous force. And so those two things, I believe, created a lot of cynicism about the official story.
Wow, that's incredible. Let's kind of go back to this, you know, because I really want to kind of visit on this a little bit. Because this is really something we kind of deal with on everything. And it's definitely what you mentioned about the documents not being released properly. We've had this under several administrations, right? Since 1990, what?
It began in 94.
Yeah, so I would have been, just for knowledge about my age, I would have been 12 years old at that point. So
I've got a couple decades on you. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. You got me by a long shot, at least I. But what's going on here? What is your insight onto these documents? How come they're not being released? When this is of vital importance for us to know what happened here decades and decades later.
You know, I really agree that it's really important to get the last set of documents out. Now, I'm not going to say, for example, that the whole secret of the Kennedy assassination will be revealed when these last, I think it's 14,000 of them are left. Okay. You know, but what I'm saying is that these agencies in government have, they actually look at themselves as being above the law, that somehow they don't have to obey the law one way or the other. Okay. And they've gotten away with this for so long that they actually think that they can get away with it again, you know, and it doesn't matter to them. And this is what's really kind of disheartening. You know, it doesn't matter to them that what they're doing is eroding the social fabric of the belief in citizens in their own government. It doesn't matter to them. That's very, very obvious from the way these guys act. But let me tell you a brief story. The chairman of the ARB went in with the CIA, their first meeting. They showed a document on the screen. All right. He said to the CIA guy, he said, "What could you possibly object to in releasing that document?" And the CIA guy said, after about 10 seconds, he said, "I'm not sure. Give me a couple minutes. I'll think of something." All right. See, that's the kind of arrogance that these guys have. You know, and I think it's very, very tragic in a certain way, you know, because I said that chart, I think today it's like 22% of the public believes in what their government is saying. And let me add something else. I think the figure is even lower for the media. Okay.
I think so, too. There seems to be this. The media definitely is not handling what's going on with this property. And I might even say, James, our education system regarding this with the historical value to this, I don't think it's even been handled right. I mean, I can remember that even in my time period, and I'm here in Texas, so I'm not that far from where all of this
from where it happened.
Yeah, I'm literally about an hour and a half away, and I can't tell you how much was even studied about this in grade school. This is to me something that should be done. So we have a problem here regarding this with JFK that we can't. It's almost like they're kind of pushing it into darkness. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right about that. And I'm glad you mentioned the media and the education system. The media has been horrible on the JFK case. If you can believe this, and we show this in the film, on the day the Warren Commission was issued, which I believe was September the 27th or the 28th, 1964, both NBC and CBS that night had specials on about the Warren Report. The CBS one was 2 hours. NBC one was from 1 hour. Now, Dustin, let me ask you a question. How can you possibly read 888 pages in one day? Okay, and put together a special about it. Well, obviously, what happened was that the Warren Commission was leaking stuff to these networks in advance, even as far as who they wanted them to interview. And this, see, that to me, there's something unethical about that. about the media cooperating with an official body of government to get their message out. The other point you brought up, we had a guy, Paul Blue, who did an article about how textbooks treat the Kennedy assassination. And he surveyed something like 26 textbooks for schools. All right. And he said about 24 of them went along with the Warren Commission, which is shocking today, you know, to never bring up any of the serious problems so that kids can study their true history about what happened on that day, you know. And it's just, it's really lazy, okay, for these authors to do stuff like that. So I agree with you. It's a kind of an institutional failure, you know, of what's happened.
Wow. Wow. So what do you think legally is going on here, especially when you have presidents that had the power to completely get this, these out? What's the legality behind this? Do you know?
Well, in my opinion, both Trump and Biden broke the law. I don't think there's any real question about that from a legal standpoint. Okay. It's because, see, everything was supposed to be out in 2017. That's what the law says when it was written, that there will be nothing censored past October 2017. The only way you could still keep things secret is through the president. And so both Trump and Biden, you know, have, I believe, disobeyed the law. And that's what this court case is about in Northern California. Why are they disobeying the law? Why are they overriding? It was called the JFK Record Collections Act when it was first passed. All right. And I hate to tell you this, but I can't answer that question. Trump, I believe, was some TV host. I think his name is Napolitano or something.
Judge okay. Napolitano.
Yeah, I think he said words of the effect, "Judge, if you would have seen what I saw, you would have done the same thing." You know, what that means, I don't know. Did they actually show him this stuff? You know, why would they do right.
that? That's kind of concerning, actually. And, you know, obviously, these presidents see things that we don't get to see as regular citizens. But in my opinion, we have to, I don't like the fact that you can say you're not allowed to know these things when that assassination has directly affected the nation all the way until this day. And the things that occur with these organizations that we have to deal with today, especially when they are weaponized against people, that we have a real problem. And the discovery that we could get as citizens through the release of the truth, we could change things. And because of that, they're keeping us from changing it. And I really think we have a problem here, James, that we got to get this taken care of. It's been long enough. It's time for the American public to know.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate that it's only on shows like this that this issue gets fully aired. You know, and I believe it's a great failure of the MSM. Okay. One of their greatest failures, all right, is that this issue doesn't get aired on NBC or ABC or the New York Times. You know, it's only through people like you, through the alternative media that's sprung up in the last 20 or so years, okay, that this issue actually gets fully aired. You know, it's really tragic, you know, when so many people feel this way, but they're made to feel like they're a minority, you know, by the MSM, because they just won't deal with it in any way. I think a very good example of that, if you recall, was the 50th anniversary, in which that was an utter disgrace, what happened on that day. Okay. You know, and I sure as heck hope it doesn't happen again this time around.
Right, right. Well, James, tell everybody how they can learn more about what you guys do. I know that you do things other than just JFK. This is a specialty of yours. Let everybody know so that they can learn more and follow you more in case they don't know who you are. They got to know this stuff. We got to get it out.
Thank you. It's the website is called KennedysandKing.com. All right. The book is called JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. And you can stream or buy the film, okay, at any number of websites, including, of course, Amazon.com. And those are some very good resources for the average person to begin to educate themselves about this issue.
Awesome. Well, James, I really appreciate you coming on with us. This was very informative. I got more to look into on this, so I definitely will have to have you back sometime here in the future when I can get more knowledgeable on the subject. There's a lot to learn here, a lot to dig through.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure, sir. Well, everybody, don't go away. We have more coming.
Hi, friends. Dr. Michelle Sherwood here.
I'm Dr. Mark Sherwood.
Many people know about our clinic, but we also have a desire to help people who can't personally visit us, but still want to take steps towards better health.
Our two-week health reset is a great first step and requires no video appointments or tests.
With our health reset, you will get 28 detox shakes to provide the ideal nutritional foundation, 28 supplement packs with key nutrients, and access to daily videos where we encourage you along the two-week process.
Our health reset plan is usually $180. Now, it's just $169 with your promo code. Go to Sherwood.tv now and use the promo code on your screen to receive this exclusive offer.
Take a simple step and let us guide you on the road to feel better.
And welcome back to Battlefront Frontline. I am your host, Dustin Faulkner, and we just got there off the segment with James D. Eugenio. What an interesting segment. I have to admit that I've not been the big RFK conspiracy follower. I've dabbled in it a little bit, but then here upon meeting James and when I had to prepare to talk with him on the interview tonight, I'm actually quite interested in this, but I have to a point because we need to know the truths about what happened in our history with that. But now I'm even more engaged upon it because I know that there are things surrounding JFK that are very applicable for today, and especially with what you see. And I kept on saying JFK Jr. for some reason. I think it's because I was reading some stuff about RFK Jr. and I had him on my mind to ask questions about, which I didn't get to because James works with RFK Jr. as well on some of the things that they are investigating. I think that's why I did that. Either way, I'm glad James corrected me. But that's good stuff. Anyway, so we got to be moving on here tonight. I don't have much time with you. We got to end it up to the round tonight. We are on the final segment. But before you go there, make sure that you head on over there to mypillow.com/battle. Now, this is a product that I really want you guys to understand. You need to have these in your arsenal and your homes. This is a very good product. I'm just very impressed with the products that MyPillow continues to put out. And we're always looking for ways to be able to improve our sleep because, wow, because we lack sleep in the country and we need to get to sleep. I don't know why my mind just went blank there, but anyway. A lot of people think that the key to a good night's sleep is with the pillow is the way that it feels, the firmness. Like you go and you get all these pillows, like even at Walmart, that talk about the firmness and this and that extra firm, blah, blah, blah. Well, according to inventor Mike Lindell, it's not really about that. It's about temperature and it's about pillow height. And he has created something new for you. You know you're always tossing that pillow around because you want to get to the cool side. Well, I'll tell you this. Come over to the cool side of the pillow, which is now on both sides, with my pillow 2.0. And my pillow 2.0 now has the ability to determine how high your pillow is going to be there. But the temperature is regulated throughout the pillow, so it stays cool on both sides. And with the code BATTLE, you can get this for one. You can buy one. Why am I stuttering? You can buy one, and then you can get the other one for free. In fact, moving on to that, you also have this moving to your whole body. Now, I have the mattress topper right now, and it's helped tremendously with my spine. But now, the technology of temperature regulation has been improved even more with the My Mattress Topper 2.0. So don't just get the My Pillow 2.0 and then have two pillows because you're buying one and get one free with the code BATTLE, but get starting at $219.59, the My Mattress Topper 2.0, which regulates it through your whole body. Guys, it's time to get a good night's sleep. It is time to feel better throughout the night. You can also call 1-800-559-7535, a 1-800-559-7535, and order over the phone if that would please you more to not be ordering online. But for those of you also who want to support American entrepreneurialism, don't forget that you can go over there to mystore.com and support complete 100% on American entrepreneurs that are doing the best with their products and making a living for themselves and for their families and not getting stolen from Chinese people in China. The Communist Party that are taking all of our products and stealing it and not doing even as good of a job as we do here in America with it. And in fact, with the code BATTLE, you can get all of the same percentages off there, up to 66% off. But you can also subscribe to America's Great and get a new one delivered to your door, a brand new American product every month with Mike Lindell's America's Crate. So go subscribe there at mystore.com. Don't forget to visit there at mypillow.com/battle. Use the code BATTLE. Save up to 66% off. Go over there to the outlet. Save up to 86% off. And you can also call 1-800-559-7535 and get the My Pillow for your arsenal of sleep. Now, this we're going to be moving on here. There's still more to talk about the transvestite issue. We'll be getting to that. We got several interviews coming next week that I can't wait to get to you. So hopefully we can get this in. We're going to try and get in every show to try with our investigations to get this right. Eventually, I'm going to have to do a show by myself. We want to bring experts and specialists and things on here so you can learn about them and be more informed. But it's time that I do another show alone because I have so much that we need to get out and do it without interruption. Back to back to back with the segments instead of getting interrupted in between the segments. Not that there's anything wrong with that because that's how we designed the program, but we want to get that done. Now, you know that you, America, have been thrown under the bus by Kevin McCarthy. How many of us opposed that going to be elected to speaker? This is exactly why we opposed that, because we knew that this guy is a WEF World Economic Forum stooge. Even as Clay Clark said in the last program, he is doing a good job of ushering in the Great Reset, and it is being done through this. Just look at everything collapsing here in the world, and it's absolutely the world being collapsed. Everything is being converged here to destroy the petrodollar. Everything is wanting to take us off of the U.S. being the world currency. This is important because it collapses the nation and it makes us completely worthless. Already, we are a nation that is weak. And now we have leadership just like Kevin McCarthy, who is deliberately weak. And it's disappointing of the people that you see surrounding him. But we've talked about this is things that you've even heard from people, other people saying it than just myself. These people that want to get on committees. So, of course, they're going to support everything in McCarthy. You're seeing Jim Jordan do it. It's kind of like, are we still getting more and more of these Trey Gowdy people that continue to be in these organizations? They go and they do these committee chairs, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's a big do-nothing. Just, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to hold back here. She's a loudmouth. And she has done nothing for January 6th detainees. She's done nothing but grift off of them. And I hate to say that. There's a point that I like this person. And I'm kind of surprised, actually, by her behavior and her support here of Kevin McCarthy. Why in the hell are you supporting it? That's why Trump needs to stop listening to this lady. He needs to get her right now out of his sphere of influence. She is toxic. We don't need to rally around her anymore and support her. But let's go here to Kevin McCarthy. Now, you still have good representatives that are taking care of business. I'm still itching from a sunburn, by the way. But anyway, sorry, just thought I'd say that. Anyway, you go back here and you had on Representative Eli Crane out of Arizona got on there, and he confirmed that McCarthy, even though he's lying and they're promoting this, trying to gaslight you, and that's exactly what they're doing, as they've abused and trying to convince you that this has been some kind of spending cut. It's not a spending cut by any stretch of the word at all. And he goes on here on Steve Bannon's War Room show, and he says exactly what we knew to be true, that McCarthy is 100% behind this. And then you see that he's negotiated with people like Hakeem Jeffries, the clown behind the Black Lives Matter and other problems of communism in this country, to destroy us. This 100% is a leftist Democrat globalist bill to give them unfettered spending, a blank check to throw us into oblivion, ushering in CBDCs, regional bank controls. But listen here to what Eli Crane said on the War Room show.
It was Kevin McCarthy all the way. He told us that personally in conference. And there are people up there who still love this country, who put their voters and their constituents first. It's not about, you know, what they can get out of it. It's not about staying in office. Most of us, Steve, that are holding the line know that leadership and the swamp and the establishment is going to be gunning for us, but we don't care because we know what's on the line, and it's so much bigger than any of our political careers.
And that's absolutely true. The establishment is going to be gunning for these people. They want to ensure their controls are not given up, just like you even have here in Texas with people like Dade Phelan, what they've done there with Ken Paxton and pushed him out. You have Greg Abbott, who has put in an interim attorney general. I'm still looking into him. But obviously, if somebody like Abbott so easily and quickly picked this guy, and this guy, John Scott, was even announcing before it was announced by Abbott to people that he was going to be taking over those duties. What kind of person is he? And obviously, he's going to be taking over duties while they're going through the Senate there here in Texas regarding Ken Paxton. What's it going to wipe away? What's it going to remove that Ken Paxton was doing regarding election fraud and all of these other things, such as Dade Phelan and getting rid of these people? And I hear a lot of accusations about Paxton that I have not even confirmed or heard at all. But something's going on here within the establishment. But back to McCarthy here. That 100% did this to destroy the country. You even have here over there at National File, Charles Downs reporting that Treachery MTG says lawmakers who don't back Biden-McCarthy debt deal live in conservative fantasy land. This woman lives in conservative fantasy land. She gets out there, and I think that she actually took this. I think that she took what Laura Loomer does, and whether you agree with what she says about some things or not, you can't deny that she is bold and makes people that are establishment figures very, very, very uncomfortable. I think that that's why people like Marjorie Taylor Greene rush the scene. They know how to trick. They know that we need representatives and are looking for people to be bold that aren't establishment. And I think that she got around Laura Loomer and began to understand that those tactics work to a certain point for her. And she started using those. So she got the good graces and respect of all of us. That's a problem. But anyway, he purports that Marjorie Taylor Greene, he said that she showed her true colors. She was revered by the MAGA base. And then he also said that she called her fellow GOP colleagues who stood with their constituents and voted against the bill, unsuccessful members of Congress. Well, she's got a lot of things that's being accused of her about sleeping around with McCarthy. They did look touchy-feely during that whole time that it took 15 ballot measures to elect this guy. And he did roll over and give exactly on his first major effort to the Democrats. It's time for a motion to vacate. But, of course, she tweeted that. You still have Steve Bannon bringing her on the program. I don't know why. It's time to start giving this woman a platform. Let her stand on her own platform, because we defended her when she was deplatformed. And this is what we get for thanks. No thank you anymore. Of course, you even did have Trump commenting that the GOP should have gotten more from the debt deal, and that this is a problem. Now, I'm running out of time here, and I want to get to this over here, an article at the Epoch Times. Remember when I was talking about the global problem and all of these things? This is why the debt ceiling is extremely important, and I believe also that it helps to understand when you see things like this. And of course, you got to have a premium membership to see these kinds of things, and I do with. That's one place that I do pay the fees for, is Epoch Times. But over there it says, global debt soars again. This is by Daniel Lacow. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But he says that global debt levels soared by $8.3 trillion in the first quarter of 2023, climbing to $305 trillion, nearly the record high set in the first quarter of 2022, according to the Institute of International Finance. This means almost 35% of the GDP. Yeah, I see the time. But anyway, so he goes to say here that private debt is not a reserve asset for the public sector. It is a negative factor that crowds out investment and credit and erodes purchasing power from families and earnings from businesses as taxes rise. To make public debt a reserve asset, it would have to generate real economic return, just as the debt of private businesses used for solid investments. However, governments use increasing debt for current spending with no economic return. This leads to lower growth trends and loss of purchasing power of its issued currency. Private debt is paid by families and businesses, but public debt is also paid by private productive sector. Therefore, the impact on the pattern of growth, job creation, and investment are significantly more negative when public debt rises. So you go over here, and then you see that global markets have entered a perverse incentive mechanism whereby consensus investors favor rising public imbalances, expecting central banks to implement quantitative easing afterward. Ladies and gentlemen, 2007, up to that point, what do we get with that? This is why we're going to have an unreal global collapse. And when you have there, when they're going to have unfettered spending until 2025 because of some globalist shill, World Economic Forum puppet like Kevin McCarthy and his supporters like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, shame on you. They've given them the ability to spend and spend and spend our asses into outer space and oblivion. Further, adding to the fact that we will collapse harder than we've ever collapsed known to man. But thank your people who said, to know, we just need to let Kevin McCarthy have his day. More should have stood their ground. They should have listened to us instead of conceding and giving in. That would be you too, Chip Roy. Even though you're against this, you're complicit in what happened to us today. Because, of course, over here at Battlefront Frontline, we will continue to see these things and we will bring them to you because we will be here revealing the facts. No matter where they hide it, no matter what they do to conceal it, no matter the lies that are being told to you, no matter how you're being steered another direction away from it, no matter where we have to go and get it, we will be there doing what we must to uncover the truth, because the truth cannot be hidden forever. And that has been Battlefront Frontline with you tonight. Thank you. And good night.